Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator to you this wonderful morning. Well, we continue our season of Epiphany with Luke chapter 4, where Jesus is addressing his home congregation. He stands up to speak and is handed the scroll from Isaiah, and he releases his mission statement. Before we explore that, I want to name one of the challenges facing our church today. The challenge of seeing God in the new and the present. One major challenge we have faced for the last 23 months, 23 transitional months, is noticing God in the shift of our worship and our mission. We wish for worship to be as it once was. We wish to return to the familiar rather than explore the new and the unknown. You know, when Misty and I were quite a bit younger, we would always hang out with our lifelong friends. And some of our occasional gatherings were meeting at a local karaoke establishment and singing together. One night stands out as we went to a place near a friend's lake cottage. The place was packed. It was alive with song and drink. As our turn came up, we began to sing Piano Man by Billy Joel. And as we sang, people stopped and noticed. I'd never seen probably a large group of people come up all at once, but they started to look at us, and then they started to join in and sing along. By the middle of the song, we had attracted a group of other people up on stage, and they eventually formed a kick line like the Rock Cats. By the end of the song, everyone in the place was singing along. And as we walked back to our tables, there were high fives and compliments and a great time had by all. About a month later, our friends gathered together, and we thought we'd head out to another local establishment. Why not? The last time was great. This place was not quite like the last. There's a different feel to this one. And as we were looking at the song list, trying to figure out what to sing, we figured, nothing wrong with Piano Man. We all remembered what fun it was the last time we had sang that song. And we wanted to relive that moment once again. So we set up our song, we got up on stage, and we began, and just as we did the time before, and though we were having a pretty good time, the audience didn't have the same reaction. And no one joined us. I mean, some people sang along. It's Billy Joel, right? But not like before. And as we sat down, no one broke away from their personal conversations. They barely acknowledged that we were there. It was kind of frustrating, but, you know, it was all because we wanted to recreate that moment. We wanted to recreate that joy and that unity and that excitement, just the same way we did previously. It's really a human thing to do. We romanticize about the past and try to create the past all over again. The church is no different. We favorably remember the past, and regardless of if it was or not, it seems to have been better, more unified, more joyful, more exciting, maybe because as we look back, we know the outcome. We remember the great times, and as we force ourselves to remember the trying times, we are thankful for those memories also because we learned from them and lived through them safely. Living into the unknown, living into the unknown future is more difficult because we don't know what is around the corner. We don't know the outcome, especially in the church that we live into today. The church is usually the place where we like to take refuge from a changing world. But not now. Now our church is forced to change in ways we never imagined. Today, church looks and feels different. Video screens, pre-recorded messages, cameras, TV screens, Zoom meetings, hybrid worship, the hiatus of our choir, communion at home, Church looks, church feels so different today than it did 23 months ago because of the unknown. And the challenge is noticing God in the new and the present, the unfamiliar and the unknown. We are getting a taste right now of what it was like to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And as we face these challenges, it's beneficial to remember the church has been going through changes ever since its existence. And remembering Jesus is still our Redeemer and God is still the lover of our soul. After the temple had been destroyed and the Israelites exiled, we hear in the book of Ezra, chapter 3, the Israelites have now returned and began to rebuild their temple after years of exile. Some people were full of joy as they laid the foundation, reclaiming the place where they will worship God, where God would once again dwell. It's a place where they would connect again to God in a new way. Yet there were those who remembered the old temple, and they were filled with loss and nostalgia. They longed for the old temple and for what they held familiar. And they began to mourn and weep. The sound of both groups, those shouting for joy and those weeping loudly, blended, and no one could tell if it was a joyous moment or one of loss. Making a long story short, because the Israelites were rebuilding the temple, adversaries of the Israelites, who also worshiped God, wished to help in the construction of the new temple. Now, the new temple construction was delayed by foreign kings who felt threatened by the solidarity of all the God worshipers, but eventually it was completed. A new temple was created and opened to a larger and more diverse group of God worshipers. God continues to redeem and create in the new. God works with the traditions remembered and welcomes them in a new temple. In our challenge of seeing God in the new and the present, we hear Luke's description of Jesus in his home synagogue, using the old tradition of Isaiah to proclaim his mission statement to the crowd at home. Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." In this short sermon, Jesus is declaring to the people what his ministry will be and for whom it will be. As for what, Jesus' ministry will bring good news, release and recovery, freedom, and the year of the Lord's favor. As for who, he's preaching to the poor, the captive, the blind, the oppressed. Now, don't take these words too literally. Of course, in its context, the literal interpretation is very accurate. Yet for us, as we hear it, maybe we've never considered ourselves monetarily poor, but spiritually, we've all been there. We maybe never considered ourselves captive to anyone, but we are captive to sin and a sinful world that holds us trapped in a political and socio-economic doldrum. We may have sight, yet at times we are blind to injustice and racism, sexism, ageism, and homophobia. Jesus' words unify the people and welcome them into the body of Christ. God's presence is felt by everyone. Here's the epiphany. The epiphany moment for those witnessing Jesus and God in Luke's gospel and us. Jesus speaks three words of truth in his mission statement. He connects the ongoing work of God with the old tradition of Isaiah. He unifies everyone, if not literally, then figuratively, in the freedom of grace God gifted to us. And he edifies the promise that he is the one appointed by God. Therefore, God's love will continue to be relevant in our lives. He says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." As we consider the challenges of the church and our challenge of what church should feel like or what it should look like, our focus is recognizing the presence of Christ in our lives and seeing the Spirit work in our church as it is now. As unfamiliar as our hybrid worship presents itself, the Spirit is still at work. The short survey that we sent out to everyone before the holidays about our hybrid worship has been collected and examined, and what we found was very valuable. We had 48 people who filled out the survey, 15% of who were not actually OSLC members. Proof that our hybrid worship is reaching outside of our membership. One family and one other individual would like to become new members. Nearly 80% of those who filled out the survey say their worship needs are being met through online and/or in-person worship. And you can look at as pessimistically and say, but Pastor, there's 20% who feel their needs are not being met. I ask you, how's that different from the past? If we look at the whole picture, if we've not had created this online worship service, how many more individuals would have felt disconnected because their worship needs were not being met and they would have left anyway? We can do more to reach that 20%, and the survey will help us doing just that. But with the addition of hybrid worship, we have reached more individuals and united the body of Christ than we would have ever been possible with only an in-person worship. Now we have people joining us from other cities in Indiana and Kentucky and the whole country. Nearly 50% of you believe that the Zoom worship works best currently. And nearly 40% believe in-person worship works best for them. Hybrid worship is the new temple. God is provided. God has given us the gifts and talents within OSLC to create a new temple, and in it, the Holy Spirit is present and guiding us to live into God's mission, into Jesus' mission statement. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, we hear of radical unity in the Spirit among a diverse group of gifts through God's people. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so is it with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. It is in the Spirit that our gifts are used to create a radical sense of unity, which thrives in diversity. God uses our gifts to redeem and create. The Spirit infused with our gifts of technology, knowledge, liturgy, tradition, music, faithfulness, grace, and forgiveness, they're used to build a new church, a new way of reaching others. Because of the hard work of members of this church, most worshiping at OSLC, our Savior Lutheran Church, whether in person or online, maintain the connection to the diverse body of Christ. We will always need the forward thinkers and the tradition keepers, the silly and the serious, the compassionate and the practical. None more indispensable than the other to continue and focus on the mission which lies ahead of us. It's important to remember the means by which the church worships together is secondary. It is secondary to the mission Jesus lays before us as the body of Christ, witnessing to the presence of God in our midst. When Jesus had finished his sermon in his hometown, he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down. All the eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to tell them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." In their hearing, they recognized the presence of the Holy Spirit and God in a new way. No matter what is going on in the world today, Jesus is present. No matter how you choose to worship, God reveals God's grace and mercy in water and bread and wine. No matter what challenges lie before us, the Holy Spirit is here to unite us. Unite our gifts to be used in the mission of Christ. I, for one, see the presence of God in each one of you. And I pray the Holy Spirit puts that same sight in you for each other. Though the challenges are real and they are hard, we will overcome them. As we overcome them together, these successes will be our testimony of love, of the love of God for all people. They will be our witness to the presence of Christ here and now, in the present and the new. Amen.